Hello everyone, it's Monday morning, and the date is July 8th. Welcome to our very first Coffee Talk. For today's Coffee Talk, we are going to be discussing the 2020 Democratic debate. For those of you who tuned into it, as did I, we are going to take a look at certain candidates that piqued my interest and that really took the show and stood out to me. We are also going to be talking about certain candidates that maybe had a few slip-ups or that I just have some really strong opinions about. Also, if you did not watch it, or even if you did watch it, we are going to do a little bit of a quick recap before going into this, just so you get a general idea of what happened. As far as the topics talked about throughout both of the debates, I'd say there were only about 5 or 6 that really stood out to me as far as the amount of questions behind them and the amount of responses and just the all-around amount of speaking time that went into individual topics. I'd say number one would have to be immigration. That was a very widely spread issue in both of the debates. However, I'd say it was a majority of the speaking time was taken by immigration in the first debate. The second would have to be equality, especially LGBTQ+ rights and equal pay and creating more programs to help boost equality between men and women. That was another big topic, especially throughout the first Democratic debate. Number three would have to be Planned Parenthood. I guess Planned Parenthood technically falls into equality. However, the amount of questions and speaking time that went into just Planned Parenthood as its own topic was quite significant, especially, again, in the first Democratic debate. Now, the big two topics in the second Democratic debate would have to be free education and free healthcare. And honestly, that's what I was expecting, especially having Bernie Sanders in the second Democratic debate, him being a longtime advocate for free education and free healthcare. I was very much expecting for a large chunk of the debate to go into free education and free healthcare. Now, every now and then, what to do with Iran would come up, as well as nuclear disarmament and taxes would come up every now and then, but it wasn't as talked about as I was thinking it was going to be. Now, as far as the last thing that was talked about throughout both debates, I actually saved the biggest one for last, Donald Trump. I got so angry about this being the most talked about issue. These people who are running to run our country, who are trying to take this very, very short amount of time that they are given to explain why you should pick them and to explain their ideas and to explain everything that they basically stand for, you don't have a lot of time to talk. So to spend all your time trying to talk about Donald Trump just seems absolutely pointless to me. It's like, why are you spending your time, your energy, and your efforts talking about something you can't fix? Yes, we know you hate Donald Trump. Yes, most of us do too. Yes, we don't agree with what he does. Yes, we want you instead, but you need to tell us why. Don't spend your entire time talking about how much you hate him, because that's not going to get you anywhere. Everyone up on that stage basically hates him. Everyone in that room basically hates him. So why you need to spend your time and energy talking about something that really is not going to matter in 2020? I find it absolutely pointless for that to even be a topic of discussion. Now, getting into the details, which candidates I like, which candidates I didn't like, which candidates had those, oh gosh, did you just say that moments, which candidates had those, oh my goodness, you're amazing moments, and which candidates fell short in certain areas, and everything else. So we're going to start off on a good note and talk about which candidates I really enjoyed listening to and which candidates had those, oh my gosh, you're so amazing, I love what you just said moments. Now, I went into the first Democratic debate not knowing a lot about most of the candidates. I mean, I knew about Elizabeth Warren and I knew about Beto. And those were basically the only two that I had really heard anything about, to be honest. And that may make me sound uneducated, but honestly, that's just, I've been trying to stay up to date and I didn't really hear a lot of buzz about the other opponents in the first debate. However, at the end of the first Democratic debate, I can officially say that Julian Castro would have to be my top choice in the first debate. Out of all those people, would have to be my top choice for president. I didn't even know who he was going into this debate, and neither did my mom, and we both just kind of went, wow, I didn't even know people like this exist. And his advocacy and his passion just for everything that I care about was truly fascinating and amazing to be able to listen to, and it was kind of life-changing in a way. He advocated so much for LGBTQ plus rights. He was like, people, we can't just think about, you know, the people that are straight, the people that are cisgender. We need to be talking about the people that are gay, bisexual, transgender. We need to be talking about how we can protect these people as well as everyone else. We need to be talking about, you know, how we can help give them sexual education that's beneficial. We need to talk about how to protect them as well as everyone else. And that just was like an, oh my goodness, that's awesome moment. Someone can finally say, hey, look, here's how it is. We need to fix this. So I loved him for that. I also loved him, especially when he was talking about immigration, when he was talking about equality. And he had that moment where I even clapped in my house. I was just like, yes, yes, Castro, yes, please. And he went to say that he doesn't understand, like, why we still haven't even passed any Equality Act to make men and women equal. He doesn't understand. And he said that would be the first thing that he would do, is to finally pass an Equality Act, because it doesn't exist. There's no act, no laws saying you have to pay men and women the same. There's no law or act saying you have to give them the same opportunities. There's no law. There's nothing like that. And so the fact that he decided to just wow us all with saying that that would be the first thing he would do is finally make men and women equal in the eyes of the law, it had me speechless. That's what it had me. So, first debate, yes. Yes. Elizabeth Warren, I was pretty happily surprised by her. She had quite a few good moments. I'd say she'd be my second choice in the first debate. As far as the other candidates go, Beto, I was sort of disappointed with. I was really hoping that he would have one of those oh my goodness moments, and there really weren't many. He spoke here and there, and he didn't speak as much as I would have thought or would have wanted him to. I still love him, but he turned out to be a little bit disappointing as far as the debates go. Now, I'm all for people talking about their accomplishments and talking about their experience. However, I don't feel that it's necessary to talk about it every 5 seconds. Now, the candidate that I am talking about is Tulsi Gabbard. Now, forgive me if I say her name incorrectly. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. Tulsi Gabbard, she's a U.S. representative from Hawaii. Now, every time that she was asked a question, or every time that she was given time to answer a question, I just felt like every single question she was asked, she found a way to throw in her military background, she found a way to talk about her accomplishments in the military, she found a way to relate whatever what was being asked of her to the military, and you're there to answer questions, and she almost never answered one. She kept dancing around them. And so that's just a candidate that I personally could not get behind. And I went into it kind of liking her. I didn't have an issue with her. Some of her ideas made sense to me. But during the debate, she just turned out to be disappointing in my eyes. Now, going on to the second debate, I would have to say Bernie Sanders. I've always been a Bernie Sanders lover. Honestly, he will always be my top choice for president. So him, I was very impressed with as usual. I went into it very hopeful for Joe Biden. Unfortunately, Joe Biden did fall short, and Kamala Harris kind of took his place in my list of who I want to be president. So Kamala Harris, great, fantastic job. The reason that she moved up, Joe Biden moved down, Joe Biden had that really bad head-to-head moment with Kamala Harris, and I'm sorry, but he just lost that. The minute that you try to debate with someone who has gone through such experience as Kamala Harris, it was just kind of a no-go for me. You really can't debate someone who's been involved in integration about a topic in that area, it's just a no-zone. I mean, I'm sorry, it's just not something you do. And so that's where Joe Biden kind of fell short for me personally. You know, I've always liked him. I was really rooting for him. And unfortunately, in the second Democratic debate, he just had a bad moment. And unfortunately, that ruined it for me. Also, someone that I wanted to talk about in the second Democratic debate was someone that I was a little unsure of why they were there. Well, actually, two people that I was very, very unsure of why they were there. It would have to be Marianne Williamson and Andrew Yang. For the life of me, I could not understand why a tech CEO guy and a self-help author. I'm sorry, but if you're going to run the free world, if you're going to be the leader of the free world, I don't think that being an author is enough experience. Now, I'm sorry. I have, again, no issue with authors. I think self-help, especially self-help authors, because I read so many self-help books, I think that's amazing. I have no issue with that. Breakfast at Sophie's used to be an entire website and podcast about self-help. However, I don't think that being a self-help author exactly qualifies you to lead the country. I don't think that's enough experience. And a lot of her comments, as I said before, that the people that only talked about how much they hate Trump really pissed me off. And that's another reason why I just did not like her, is how many times that she talked about how much she hated Trump. And it's like, yes, we get it. But talk about your ideas. You don't have to talk about how much you don't like him. Talk about what you want to do. And then Andrew Yang, he announced or declared that he'd be running in 2017. I mean, that's a lot. But I just really can't get behind him, especially when he decided to make a comment, or I don't even know if it was a comment. He was actually talking about his ideas. And one of them was to give money each month to everyone. Like, not even just everyone. Just give money to everyone and let them do what they want with it. And that just kind of was like, well, why? You know, there's so many more things that we could be doing with our money instead of spending it on people that may not even need it. Ah, Pete Buttigieg. I was so excited when he ran, when I found out he was running. I was honestly so excited. My dad told me about him, and then I did some internet stalking because I'm creepy. No, but I did some internet stalking as far as looking into his background and looking into what he's done. I feel so bad, though, because he's honestly a perfect human being. I think he's awesome. I think he's amazing. I think he's absolutely straight up fantastic. However, I was disheartened when he didn't speak as much as I would have thought in the debates. He barely spoke compared to the other candidates. And whenever he said something, it was like, okay, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. But it wasn't like I'm standing up on my feet and clapping like I had with Julian Castro. So I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I still love him. I still think he's super amazing. And I really hope he does step up his game, because I really am rooting for him. And I seriously do hope that he does get somewhere with his campaign. That's about all I have to say about the 2020 Democratic debates. And I really wanted to thank everyone for sticking with me to the end. I feel like this is a lot longer than I expected it to be. And thank you for listening to my very first coffee talk. I will be working out a schedule, and I'm trying to get more coffee talks up as soon as possible each week, because I really do love the idea of not having to worry about organizing a guest, and instead just sitting with my nice refreshing cup of coffee and a candle, and just talking to everyone as unfiltered as possible. And that way, you know, it seems more personal. And that's really what I want to do with this podcast and with my website, is making it as personal and as me as possible. Because I don't want to put content out there that I'm not 100% behind, that are not 100% what I think. And I really do hope that I can keep doing that because I love what I do. I love being able to talk about my political opinions. I love being able to write down social issues. I love being able to write down misconceptions and try to debunk those. So thank you everyone for giving me this wonderful platform that I'm able to use to educate and to spread my perspective and to just share my thoughts and my opinions, because that's something that just feels so special to me. And so I want to thank you everyone for letting me do that. Also, a little bit of a self-promo here. If you would like to go and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, you can do so. The link will be in the description page in this podcast. You can also go and visit our website at breakfastatsophies.com. You'll find a bit of a surprise when you do go, as it is completely redesigned. So if you want, you can go and check that out as well. And I just want to thank everyone again for listening, and have a wonderful rest of your Monday morning and your Monday, and have a fantastic week.